Thank you. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. What a blessing. All right. At this time, I'm going to have Brother Solt. I'm going to turn things over to him. Again, what a blessing to have them be able to come back. Just a reminder, or not a reminder, but I didn't get it in my announcement, so we're not taking an offering every night, but we will take it tomorrow night. We're going to take an offering. So if you want to be a blessing in regards to the missions conference, we've had some offerings before. Thank you for your generosity, but we'll take that tomorrow. All right. Brother Solt.
God bless you, Pastor. It's a joy. Thank you, Pastor. And it's a joy to be with you tonight. And greetings, Cornerstone Baptist Church. Thank you for having us come back and be part of your missions conference in the balmy weather of April. I like it out here in April. It's a joy to be with you. Let's grab our Bibles, John chapter 15. Let me introduce, as we turn there, my beautiful wife, Rachel's right over here. Stand up, sweetheart. Let me show you off. It's my beautiful wife. We'll be married in September. It'll be 5 years. Been dating for 9 years. Very grateful for her. Of course, I'm very glad for my father-in-law and mother-in-law and that they were able to be here tonight. And very grateful for their sacrifice. I enjoyed talking to Brother Leo tonight before the service and hearing of his son in Kharkiv and being a missionary over there. And those are my heroes. My grandparents are my heroes when they let their children come to England. And I was born over there and let their kids go follow God's will. Just give your children to the Lord. I'm so grateful for them and grateful for a loving wife. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity. And when we talked about Missions Conference, oh, my heart was excited, and we're just thrilled to be back. And thank you for the invitation. Thank you for your beautiful hotel room, great rental car. You've just spoiled us in the packet, and they made amazing food before church, and we're just so grateful to be here. Let's, John chapter 15, and is it your custom, Pastor, to stand for the reading of God's Word? Let's stand quickly. We'll do three verses. Don't worry, I won't make you read the whole chapter. Three verses. John chapter 15. We'll look through verse 5 and 8. John chapter 15. I want to talk to you tonight on the importance of being a fruit-bearing Christian. Verse 5, the Bible says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Church family, can we read verse 8 together? The Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let's pray, church family. And Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before you tonight here at this corner of Idaho, I pray you'd meet with us tonight and that you'd fill me with your spirit and the preaching that's to come after, Lord, and that you'd sanctify this time, Lord. I want you to speak. I don't want to speak tonight. I want you to speak from your word. I beg you for your power. I beg you for your blessing upon your word. And I pray that our hearts would be encouraged by your command to be a fruit-bearing Christian. In your name I pray, amen. Please be seated. Again, just such an honor to share God's word with you tonight. I'm so glad we have a Bible in our language, aren't you? Amen. We can read it together. Something sweet about reading the Bible together. Yeah. Just the harmony of that. In John chapter 15, of course, Christ is speaking to the disciples there and putting up a prominence of a call to be a much fruit-bearing Christian. Of course, in verse 5, he points to the source and who we're supposed to go to when we do this work. My friend, we're not alone in this Christian life. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that I can walk with him and talk with him? Amen. And we can go to our Lord. That's verse 5. He says this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And my friend, if you haven't highlighted the word nothing or underlined it, you need to make sure that's a prominent place in that chapter there. Don't skip over the word nothing. Because when we go into this life and we get up in the morning and we don't consult the Lord, we don't spend time with him, we're already wasting our day. Verse 6 talks about that right here. It says, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Who are these fruitless branches that are being cast ass in the fire, my friend. That's a Christian who does this life. They try to bear fruit of themselves. And guess what? The world sees that and Christians see that. They see the emptiness of a fake Christian, and that is cast aside, the Bible says, into the fire. There's a disregard that happens. And my friend, I don't want to be a verse 6 Christian, and I know you don't as well. We want to be a verse 8 Christian, amen? Glorifying God by bringing much fruit. But the solution to the source is verse 7. We need to start here, I believe, as we go into this missions conference. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. My friend, it's a time in the word and a time in prayer. It's a time when we spend time with our Lord. And if we're walking into this week and we're walking into missions conference, yet we've neglected some time with the Lord, we've neglected our daily walk, my friend, can I just plead with you? Don't let this conference go any further. Let's just get right and start anew and reset that personal walk with God. And start that time of prayer tonight when you get home and time in the Word personally and abide with Him and grow with Him. He wants to be with us as we do this work. We're not supposed to do this without Him. We're leaving Him behind if we're trying to do this work as a self-enabled Christian. Oh, what a waste. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Friends, you and I'm sure, want to be known as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We want to be known as a Christian. Not just here, but up there, amen? We want Christ to see us, and when we get to heaven and hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, my friend, a prominent part of that, is to bear forth fruit. The emphasis. Christ came with a singular focus, and that was the cross, amen? And you and I have to have a singular focus in our life, and that is to be a much fruit-bearing Christian. And it brings glory to Him. It doesn't magnify us. It doesn't give us something to walk around with and lift up our heads. It's to do all to magnify and to glory God. That's what the word glory means, to magnify, to extol honor. I love what Isaiah 43:7 says. And of course, to glorify God is our purpose for life. If you want to write down the reference, Isaiah 43:7, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I love what Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. My friends, we were created to be here on this earth to give glory to our God. But a situation happened in Genesis chapter 3, didn't it? Where two people made a mistake that forever cast down this world in a sin nature. And we see that. Romans 3:23 talks about how we all sin and come short of the glory of God. There's a death in the sin nature. But my friends, the solution is that beautiful salvation that can be found in the person of Jesus Christ. I love what John chapter 1, verse 12 through 13 says, but as many as received him, to him gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. My friend, the solution is found in the person of Jesus Christ and accepting his gift of salvation. And if we're stepping into a missions conference week and you don't know 100% sure where your eternity is going to be, in heaven or in hell, tonight is the night we get that settled, amen? You don't need to walk out those doors wondering about your salvation. Get it settled now. Make sure you're sure. But you see that our purpose is to bring glory to God. We recognize our condition in sin, but his solution is clear too, for us to be saved. Once we accept God's gift of salvation, my friend, it's exciting because there's a purpose to life now. There's a life that's worth living, and that should break our hearts. Because there's going to be millions, if not billions, of people that are going to go into a Christless eternity, never being able to fulfill their true purpose for creation. Wasn't that sad? I'm so glad I'm saved. Amen. Let's take full advantage of Christ's salvation, amen, to bring glory to him. His desire, my friend, is for all to be saved. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23 through 25 talks about how there is all nations. They're looking for all nations to be. The children of Israel had a job to do. And my friends, that job is here today. Christ is looking throughout this world, and he's looking in Hayden, Idaho. He's looking in Missoula, Montana. He's looking in New York City. He's looking in Tokyo, Japan. He's looking all the way out there in Nairobi, Kenya. And he's looking for a Christian that's going to bring glory to him in all nations. That goes beyond boundaries. That goes beyond borders. That's people groups. That's people. And he's looking for people in different tongues and languages to praise and glory him, to live lives that glorify him, to be soul winners themselves, and to be much fruit-bearing Christians. That is his desire amongst all nations. That's why we have a missions conference, because we're looking at different parts of the world, and you're looking, you have missionaries in different parts of the world, and they're trying to reach all nations, amen? And we can have a part of that. That's a sweet thing. We'll come back to that thought in a minute. But his plan, my friend, is to use us. We are the city set upon the hill as a light, amen? And Matthew chapter 5 talks about that. I love what Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 10 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them." And my friends, that is the role we get to play, those good works. And that goes right back to John 15:8, talking about bringing glory to God by being a much fruit-bearing Christian. "So shall ye be my disciples." You know who got that clear and he got that plain? Was the Apostle Paul. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And woe be to the Christian who walks through life with their eyes closed, not realizing or not recognizing that there's a purpose that they're to fulfill, to bring glory to him, and that's bearing forth fruit." Tonight I want to talk to you about three areas where we need to look to be a fruit-bearing Christian. We're going to talk to about the circle, the surroundings, and then the world. Let's look at some scriptural examples, though. And like I said, the first area we're going to look to be a fruit-bearing Christian is within our circle. Turn with me, Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I love looking at biblical examples. I was reading 1 Chronicles this morning and going through genealogies and just looking through that, and of course there's a lot of names, but each person had a role to play, and everyone had a job to do, and some performed, some brought glory to God, and some wasted their lives, and that's a sad thing, isn't it? But Luke chapter 4, we see the perfect example in Christ, the greatest soul winner who ever be on this earth. He got it good. He came to reach his circle. He made that a prominent part of the beginning of his ministry. I love what as we go into verse 16, we're going to go through these verses here and look at the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad he's not asking us to do a job that he wasn't willing to do himself. Amen. I love in verse 16 as we go through here, it says, "And he came to Nazareth when he had been where he had been brought up, as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised.'" Of course, you have Christ here, and let's read verse 19 before I run off with this, "to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." You have Christ here in that synagogue. He's got the scroll out. He's reading this prophecy of the book of Isaiah. There's a packed room, I believe, there in that synagogue. They've come to hear what Jesus had to say. Now, this is after they've heard miracles going on in Capernaum. They're hearing miracle here, miracle there, and they're very curious. Are we going to see a miracle today? They come into the Sabbath, to the synagogue that day. They plop there, wherever they are. Most likely men were on the bottom floor, ladies in the top floor. They're there. They're listening to Jesus as he reads from the book of Isaiah. They see that he reads this prophecy, and then he puts that book away. He steps aside. And my friends, you could hear a pin drop in that room. Everyone's eyes was on Jesus. Why? Because he was pointing to a messianic prophecy. Yeah, that's right. What's he going to say? All their minds are wondering, what is he going to say next? Verse 20, and he closed the book, immediately began to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. I wonder if he even raised his voice in that moment. He probably just softly said, look, it's now. Now, that's what you call an ancient mic drop moment. Because our Lord just revealed himself as the one who's coming to bring in the acceptable year of the Lord. And they see Jesus for who he is, but they don't see it. Because in verse 22, and all bear him witness. So they understood what he was saying and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? They hear Christ reveal himself as their solution, reveal himself as their Messiah, the one they've been waiting for hundreds of years. He's here, and he reveals himself, and the first thought that comes out of their mind is, but wait a minute, isn't he the carpenter's son, the one who passed away? Isn't this the young man who used to come by my home and he fixed my table or he played with my boys or he helped carry the laundry basket? Isn't this the one who came into my synagogue, as I'm sure that leader thought, as he came into my synagogue and he sat there and I taught him the scriptures? Isn't this the one? And they're thinking all these thoughts and they're familiar with our Lord. See, these were people within his circle. When we talk about your circle, these are people you know, they know you, they most likely have your cell phone number. There's a connection there. This is not just somebody you meet at Walmart. This is not just the man Chris that we met on the boat here in Coeur d'Alene that was helping serve out there. It's not just a connection like that. No, these are people that you know them, they know you, they trust you. If they needed a favor, they would pick up the phone and probably call you. And there's a relationship there. And Christ had this relationship with the people there in Nazareth. This is his hometown. This is where he grew up. And they're thinking, but wait, isn't he just the carpenter's son? Christ begins to refute their arguments in verse 23 through 27 because he can read their mind. He knows what they're thinking. So he's refuting their arguments of why a miracle hasn't been performed yet. Verse 28, or at all in Nazareth. Verse 28 in the Bible says, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these sayings, were filled with wrath. Has anger in motion. The punch has already been thrown. There's anger being demonstrated now. They take our Lord and the Bible says, and rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him up onto the brow of the hill, whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. They bring him right there next to that hill, looking over where he grew up. And their goal at that moment was to kill our Lord. But for what reason? Because he had proclaimed himself as their Messiah. That was his circle. And Christ knew what their response would be. He knew they would respond in anger. Yet Christ was willing to go through the pain, the rejection, the cursing, the wrath, because he wanted to reach his circle. And Thanksgiving dinner might be awkward because I bring up Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. Or maybe that relationship at work, that person that sits next to me or that coworker that helps me out, that I'm very close to, we're friends, we joke around every day. Maybe that relationship will be different now because now they know I'm a Christian and I'm concerned about their eternal soul. Maybe that family member, that friend, that neighbor, will it be different? Yeah, most likely will be different. I don't know if anyone's going to experience wrath in this room from someone in their circle, but there may be some rejection, and that hurts. But our Lord was willing to go through it. And there's going to be a hell one day, and there's going to be an eternity. And when we talk about being a much fruit-bearing Christian, before I believe we can look out to that mission field, let's start where we are. I believe God has placed each and every one of us as a missionary to our circle. How are we doing in that area? If God was to pull up our branch and we look at fruit that's from our circle, where would they be? Would they be even there? Or have they been passed by? Paul had a burden. He went right after salvation. He walks into the synagogue to reach his peers with the gospel. You have the testimony of Philip finding Nathanael and going into Bethesda and finding Nathanael. Nathanael responding, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip responds with, come and see. And Nathanael's very glad he came and saw. My friends, you may get a response of rejection, a response of confusion maybe on parts, but there's always going to, I believe if we keep going, there's going to be a Nathanael one day. But regardless if there's a Nathanael situation or a Nathanael conversion, it doesn't matter. You have a circle, and they need to at least hear. They need someone to bear them witness. And you're better placed, I believe, in many cases than your pastor would ever be to reach your circle. They trust you personally. They've known you for years. Let's move forward. Let's talk about our surroundings. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. John 15:8. Turn with me to John chapter 4. Again, looking at the amazing testimony, the perfect testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he reached his circle, and that's where we have to start. Let's look at our circle. Second area we need to look to is our surroundings. Going into this passage, we'll actually pick up in verse 28. This is after you've had the conversation between Christ and the woman at the well, and he had a burden. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. He was looking for this one person. And he was going there in the heat of the day, and he knew she would have come up, and he knew that she would bring her water pot, and she was looking for water, and he begins to converse with her, this Samaritan woman, and he reveals himself as the Messiah, the first person in Scripture that heard Christ reveal himself as the Messiah, this lady. She hears that, and her life has changed. She also hears Christ reveal to her of her past and that he knows where she's coming from, how she's had multiple marriages and the man she's with is not her husband. And she hears all this, and of course she tried to debate with Christ. She tried to throw some religious philosophy at him, which she was wrong in, but at the end of the day, she believes and receives Jesus. The Bible says in verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She goes screaming into that city. Come, let me tell you about this man. Let me tell you about the Christ is here. The Bible says in verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. So at this time, you have the crowd coming up out of the city. They're following the Samaritan woman. They're going up to where that well is. And here come the disciples. They've come back. They've done their job. They've gone to Qdoba. They've gotten the steak and the chicken and the lettuce and the sour cream and the corn and all that good Baptist food. And they bring that up the hill, and they're ready to feed Jesus. He told them to go find food. They thought, okay, this is what we're supposed to do. They bring him that, and the Bible says in verse 31, he said unto them as they offered him food, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. So here they have brought the meal, they've brought the food, and Christ is not eating. Instead, he's telling them he's got meat to eat that they know not of. He's going to teach them something right here, and they got it good. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? So they start looking around, they're like, okay, who spoiled his supper? Who got to him first? Who ruined it? We did all this work. Someone fed him first? Christ is teaching them something. Verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And then he gives a promise, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathers fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. What is Christ looking at as he's speaking these wonderful words, as he's trying to teach them this lesson? My friends, when he says those words, look, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, I don't believe he was looking at the crops nearby. But my belief is he's looking at that crowd coming up from that Samaritan city. And he sees their beautiful faces. He knows each and every one of them is a soul. And he's telling his disciples, look, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Say not ye, there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Don't waste time. The fields are white. It's going to go bad quickly. We have a time right now to witness to these people. And my friends, you and I have a time right now. And where are we supposed to be a witness? Where we are, in our surroundings. To that man Chris on the boat as we were there going around the Lake Coeur d'Alene and enjoying the beauty that you have here. A little windy, but we enjoyed it. Giving Chris, my father-in-law gave Chris a track. Meeting that lady Shanika. I was in Eldorado, Arkansas this week, knocking doors in Eldorado. They're all friendly down there. They like to talk. Knock doors and met this lady. She came to the door. She had toothpaste all around her mouth. She had her toothbrush in one hand. Went into the gospel with her. I went through the whole gospel with her. She said, after she heard the whole gospel, she said, I made that decision. And I'm glad for that. I'm glad she listened. She had a little 5-year-old girl. I pray that her 5-year-old girl would get into church. That's the surroundings. That's where we were at just a couple days ago. It was Eldorado, Arkansas. Where are you right now? Well, you're in Hayden, Idaho. This is your surroundings. This is where you're at. God has you in this place, and what Christ wants us to do is lift up our eyes, look on the fields, and then take Christ at his word, verse 36, and he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. See, Christ gives an eternal guarantee right here, and a few days ago it was tax day, and we got to give the IRS our money. They need their dues, and we had to do all that a few days ago. And when it comes to taxes, can I just say this? You want Christ doing your books because he's the best accountant. And he's not worried about our physical books, the monetary books. He's up there in heaven and he's looking at the souls that are saved. He's looking at the tracts that are given out. And he's saying, so-and-so sowed a seed over here. And 26 years later, that person got saved over here. Well, so-and-so over here, he gets the credit. And so-and-so over here, he gets the credit. And both of them are rejoicing together in heaven. Amen. And that's an eternal guarantee from the best accountant that'll ever be. Amen. And that's a promise we can take to the bank. And Christ gave us that to look at. And the disciples, they got it good because they started lifting up their eyes. Turn with me, Acts chapter 3. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. We're going to wind down the message, landing gears down. We're approaching the runway. We're going to come down softly, not kind of like how we landed in Spokane yesterday. We were going down, then we were going up again. Anyway, made sure of my salvation at that moment. No, Acts chapter 3. Here you have the lame man sitting at the temple gate. Peter and John have a job to do. They're going into the temple. Look with me in verse 4. We're just going to see this in this one passage. The Bible says, so looking at the lame man, the Bible says in Acts 3, 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them. So the lame man's looking up to Peter. And the Bible says, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What was Peter doing right there, my friend? His eyes were up. He was looking at that moment. He had a job to do. He had something he needed to be. Ninth hour, he had to be in the temple. He was going in to pray, but he wasn't going to pass that lame man on his way. My friends, you and I, yes, we're busy. Life gets busy, but we have a surroundings. Let's not forget to be a gospel witness where we are right now. Whether that's outreach time on Saturday or whether that's going out and just passing out tracts at a gas station, you and I have a responsibility, amen. Let's do the third area and we'll be done tonight. Philippians 4, verse 16 and 17 talks about Paul giving a thank you message to the church of Philippi, thanking them for an eternal gift. Turn with me. Philippians chapter 4, we'll wind down there. Like I said, we're approaching the runway. We see it. Lights are clear. All right. Philippians 4, verse 16 through 17, Paul's speaking to the church of Philippi, writing them a very long thank you letter with a challenge in the middle, finishing off with a thank you note here, telling them, thank you for sending a gift, but this is what this gift was used for. Verse 16, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity. Philippians 4, 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. My friends, when it comes to giving to missions, we're not helping someone out there live a good life on the mission field. We're not helping someone go on holiday. We're helping somebody go on our behalf and bear forth fruit. I love how 2 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about giving seed to the sower. My friends, that's what we're doing. When we give to missions, we're giving seed to the sower and saying, we're going to enable you to work on our behalf to bear forth fruit. But there's three areas, my friend. There's our circle, our surroundings, and the mission field. I believe in, business world talks about multiple streams of income. You want to have multiple streams of income, you can't count on one. My friends, we live that in real life, but let's have multiple streams of bearing forth fruit. Let's not just pick one and say, okay, I'll be a giver and not be a goer to my circle. Oh, I'll tell my circle, but then I'll never go to my surroundings, I'll never worry about the mission field. Let's do it all. Let's be a much fruit-bearing Christian for His glory so that one day when we come before our Lord and we bring our fruit eternal, we can bring these people before the throne saying, they're yours for your glory. I'm just so glad I had a part. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll go into a time of prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. God, I beg you, please use my life to be a much fruit-bearing Christian. Please continue to give me breath and time to give your gospel and to bear forth fruit. Thank you that you go with us. Thank you that you empower us. Please help us, Lord, as we look at our circle and our surroundings, and then also this week, the mission field. As we look for fruit eternal, help us to be submissive, help us to be willing. Help pride not get in the way from us doing what you have for us to do here. In your name I pray, amen.